I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. Come on, lift your voice. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. And heaven comes to fight for me. Come on, let's sing that again. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, and louder. is alive. Oh, he is alive. And he reigns on high. He is alive. He is lifted from the grave. He is alive. He is alive. And he reigns on high. And he reigns on high. Let's sing it together. I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're going to hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. The King is alive. We stand and lift up our hands. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He? Come on, sing that again. We stand. We stand and lift up our hands. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He? And together we sing. And everyone sing, yeah. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. We stand. We stand in life. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He? Hey, together we sing. Ooh, and everyone sing, yeah. Holy is the Lord. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord. Yes, it's rising. Yes, it's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord. Yes, it's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. Together we sing. Everyone sing. Come on, every voice sing. Holy. And holy is the Lord God
Almighty,
the earth is filled with His glory, and holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Yes, the earth is filled with His glory. Yes, the earth is filled with His glory. Yes, the earth is filled with His glory. Yes, the earth is filled with. Holy is the Lord. Go ahead. The earth
is filled with His glory.
Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God. Holy is the Lord
God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory.
Yes, the earth
is filled with His glory.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. It's true. The earth is filled with His glory. This place is filled with His glory. Our lives are filled with His glory. We worship Him together this morning. Would you greet one another before you're seated this morning? Thank you. You may be seated. Well, good morning. I want to welcome you this morning to Evangel. We're glad that you're here on this, the last Sunday of July. So I don't know how you're wired, but I have to wire myself when it comes to summer to see the glass half full, not half empty. Because I'm seeing back-to-school advertisements, and I'm thinking, oh, summer's over already. It's like the end of July. But no, we still got the other half. The glass is half full. The summer's half full. So glad you could be here to mark this transitional point. Glad you're here to worship with us this morning. Want to welcome those of you who are joining us on the live stream. And especially want to welcome those of you who may be here for the first time today. We're glad you're here. And if we can be of any assistance, if we can come alongside and help and encourage and just be a part of your journey, then we want to do that. And if you would fill out a connection card that you'll find in the chair pocket in front of you, you can leave that at the information desk as you leave and just indicate on that card if you'd need a pastor to follow up with you, and we'll be prompt to do that. There's a small gift there for you. And we're just glad that you can be here with us today and we can be a part of your life and your journey as well. This next Sunday, it's going to be our second ice cream social of the summer. So just to let you know, after the service, there'll be free ice cream, and you're welcome to be a part of that. Just invite you to come back and be a part of that next week. If you're here today and you have kids that are newborn up to age 3, we do have a nursery that's available downstairs all throughout the service. If you go through these doors over here and down the stairs, right at the bottom of the stairs, someone will be there to be able to receive your child into there. So just if that's something that you need or would like to avail of, it's there for you. Kids who are age 4 up to grade 5, if you would like to go out at this time, you can make your way over to the side over here to this door. Some volunteers will be there to lead you downstairs. And parents, we just ask you to pick them up at the end of the service. We'd rather send them home with you than keep them with us at that point. So just make sure you do that. We're going to receive our morning tithes and offerings right now. And if you would like to give electronically, you can send your e-transfer to giving@epcoakville.com. God bless you. Hand it back to John. Oh, I didn't get a chance to say hi to you yet this morning. It's just one of those days. How you doing? Good. Good. Always smiling. Yeah, your family says otherwise, but for us, you're always smiling. All right, God bless you as you give this morning.
Our Father everlasting, Thee all created one, God Almighty. Through Your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. Let's sing it again. Our Father everlasting, Thee all creative one, God Almighty. Through Your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. So stand together. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Oh, love you, Lord. All together, our judge and our defender. Our judge and our defender, suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in You. Descending into darkness, You rose in glorious light. River seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit.
This is the gospel that we believe.
And I believe in
I believe you rose again.
I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. One more time. I believe. And I believe in you. We love
you. I believe.
I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. And He is risen from the dead. And He is Lord. And every knee shall bow. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is. He is Lord, and He is Lord. He is Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee, every
after you.
You desire and I long to worship you. Let's sing that again. As the deer and as
the deer pants for the water, so my soul after you.
You alone, you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone, you alone are my strength,
my strength.
You alone lay my spirit here, and you yes, I long to worship you. Yes, I long to worship you. One thing I ask, one thing I seek, is to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. More precious than silver, and Lord, you are more costly than gold, and Lord, you are more beautiful, more beautiful. Compares to you. Let's sing that again. Lord, you are. And Lord, you are more. And Lord, you are. We come with expectation. We're waiting here for you. Yes, we are. If faith can move, if faith can move the mountains, let the mountains move. We come with expectation. We're waiting. You're the Lord of all creation. the author of salvation. He loved me from the start. Is true, and we're desperate for your presence, and all we need is you. You are everything, you're everything you promised. Your faithfulness is true, and we're desperate for your breath, and all we need. Waiting here for you. we adore, singing hallelujah, singing hallelujah, singing I'm coming back. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing it's all about. It's all about you, Jesus. Where it's all about you, it's all about you. Where it's all about you, it's all about you, Gee. Yes, it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. With the Lord this morning, just take this moment to speak with Him. Deep cries unto deep. Express those the deep desires of your heart to Him this morning. Just express it. Go ahead now. If you need cleansing, ask Him to cleanse you. If you need strength, ask Him to come and strengthen you this morning. Go ahead, lift your voice to Him.
Psalm 42, verses 1 to 5 says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Thank you. You may be seated. When we gather to worship, worship is not just about a list. It's not just about an order. It's not just about, you know, just a plan that we put together. But worship is about encountering and experiencing and acknowledging the presence of God. And what a privilege it is to be in an environment where we can just step back and we can pause and we can wait and we can allow the very deep parts of us to connect with God. What a gift and a privilege that is. Now, most of you likely, and by the way, thank you, Jono, for leading us this morning in worship team. Really, really appreciate your heart and your sensitivity. Most of you are likely not aware that I used to be a worship leader. Go ahead, laugh. Remember the people making fun of Elijah because he was bald and how the bears ate them? Just be careful. I used to be a worship leader. About 100 years ago, I would regularly lead worship on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights. I even was a worship leader at youth camp before and retreats. Those were the days of the worship wars. Remember those? Some people are still living in those, but those were the days of the worship wars, old songs versus new songs. Which were the right ones to be singing? And, you know, I was trying to blend a little bit of both to bring both worlds together. Now, I stopped leading worship when I became a lead pastor and never looked back. And you can thank God for that. It all started, really, with my first ministry position in Brampton. When we arrived at the church, we were hired to do youth ministry, and there were four youth in the church, and they met each week to play board games in one of the side rooms. And so we began the process of building a youth ministry. Now, none of the four, they were good at board games, but none of them were musically inclined, and I knew we had to do something. And so in high school, I used to spend a lot of time at a friend's house, and both he and his brother played guitar. And so he taught me some chords, and he taught me a few songs. And so I thought, you know what, there's a plan. And so I went to the local flea market, and I spent my birthday money on a cheap guitar, because I have cheap people in my life that give me small gifts, so I couldn't spend it on an expensive guitar. And I began to learning some worship songs and leading them in our little group as we started out in that ministry. One of the very first worship songs that I learned to play was from our psalm today. And we sang it in the service, As the Deer. Very first worship song I learned to play, very first worship song that I led with them. A beautiful worship song from a beautiful psalm. Today, we are continuing our summer sermon series entitled Summer in the Psalms, where each week we will consider the central theme of a psalm. And so today it's Psalm 42. I didn't read the whole psalm because in the interest of time. But Psalm 42 is known as a maskil of the sons of Korah. A maskil of the sons of Korah. And the sons of Korah, we talked about in a previous message, were, simply put, a group of Levitical priests responsible for music and worship at the temple. And a maskil is a song that is intended to be sung for the purpose to impart wisdom and understanding. And so this psalm was sung to help those who sang it understand the central theme of this psalm today, which is hope can be found in God despite despair and the isolation of life. Hope can be found in God despite the despair and isolation of life. Now, the psalmist uses two metaphors in this psalm. In the first part of the psalm is the metaphor of a thirsty deer. And in the second part of the psalm is the metaphor of crashing ocean waves. And both, as you can see, are centered around water. So let's just take a look at what he has to say. Thirsty deer. While this psalm was written for the sons of Korah to be used in temple worship as a teaching song, we really don't know who wrote it. We don't know who wrote it, and we don't know the specific circumstances under which it was written. We don't know those things. Most believe that this psalm was written during a time of Jewish exile, written by someone who had been previously involved in temple worship in Jerusalem, because they allude to that in the psalm. The psalm opens with a longing for God's presence. For the psalmist, God's presence and the temple were synonymous. God's presence was experienced and encountered in the temple. In that point in time, for this particular person, that's where they saw the place to experience God's presence. He's remembering another time, another place, when things were very different than they are now. And so he recalls with fondness past moments when he would be a part of the procession, even leading the procession up, and these crowds of people up, headed to the temple for the various festivals, whether it was Tabernacles or Pentecost. And he recalls the shouts of joy and praise that would be a part of those groups of people as they made their way up. But things are different now. Things are different now. Rather than joy and praise, he instead experiences taunting and questioning of God's presence and God's help in times of despair and isolation. He compares his personal longing to experience God's presence again in the temple to a thirsty deer who is likely chased, pursued, hunted, and desperately needs the refreshing water. That's what he compares his situation to. And he says, as the deer pants for water, so his soul pants and longs after, craves God. Now, the word soul here, as we said a few weeks ago, and again being used here, is not just the spiritual part. It is the physical, it is the emotional, it is the spiritual longing for God. He longs to taste, he longs to experience the presence of God again in his life. And so he asks the question, when can I go and meet with God? When can I go and meet with God? For the psalmist, he will not be content until he is back in Jerusalem, the place that he associates with the presence of God. In the meantime, he says, tears are my food, day and night. Tears are a reality in my life, sorrow, continually, nonstop. The second metaphor he uses is a threatening ocean. In the latter part of the psalm, the psalmist shifts to this metaphor of crashing waves. And he says, all of your waves and breakers have swept over me. The language here is not just a little brook or not just a stream like it is with the deer. This is ocean language. And I don't know how many of you have spent significant time on the ocean, and I have, because I grew up on the ocean. This is not the image of gently rolling waves. There's a respect that you have for the ocean when you've lived on the ocean. You understand and respect the power of the ocean waves. And so he shifts to the metaphor of these crashing, powerful ocean waves. And he says, all of your waves and breakers have swept over me. Ocean language is powerful waves. They're so intense that they've engulfed him. They're pounding. They're destructive. They're relentless. There's no reprieve. I recently had an opportunity to spend a few days back where I grew up, and we went to this little beach area, and there was a big, massive, well, part of a cliff that was remaining, and I was looking at it closely. I noticed the part that was closest to the ocean was round and smooth, and the part on the other end was still sharp and pointy. And I was trying to get a picture to capture it, but the picture just couldn't grab it the same, because the pounding of those waves and relentless washing of the ocean over time has just smoothed that front of that rock so smooth, while the rest of it is still the way it had been for a long time. And he says they're pounding, they're destructive, they're relentless, there's no reprieve. He feels as if God has forgotten him. He feels as though God has lost track of him. And he's experiencing intense pain from his circumstances, which are only made worse by those who are around him who are, you know, who question his God. That just insults him even more, that he has to answer for God, that he has to hear this negativity about his God. And so the psalmist says, in the midst of the pounding waves, not only are the waves pounding him, but he is being pulled into the depths of the sea. He says, deep calls to deep. Deep calls to deep. The word deep here is the same language, and calling from the deep is the exact same language that you find in the book of Jonah, where he is inside the belly of a large fish, and he is in the depths of the ocean, and in his desperation, he recognizes his need for God, and he begins to cry out to God for rescue. It's the exact same language when he says, deep calls to deep. Cried out to God from the deep sea. And he says, deep here means the deepest depths of the ocean, of the sea. The psalmist has been plunged into a deep ocean of sorrow and darkness. And he's drowning in his despair and his isolation. And from the depths of his soul, and from the depths of his despair, he cries out to the depths of God's love. He cries out to the depths of God's deliverance. He cries out to the depths of God's mercy and says, rescue me, God, before I drown in my own despair. Encouraging stuff. But then there's hope. If you were to track this psalm closely, maybe you have, maybe you will after this, you'll notice that this psalm is like a roller coaster. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. It does that. There's three sequences of that. That the psalmist expresses lament and then expresses hope. And then back to lament and then hope. And then finally lament and then hope. We see that pattern, that line, up and down. It's not a straight line here. It's up, it's down. And I believe this format that the psalmist has used here to express his emotions and his experience is an actual expression of his struggle. That his struggle has been one of ups and downs. He's going through a difficult time. But somehow through that downtime, he's able to find moments of hope in the midst of this dark and painful moments, and so he just rises up, and then he gets overwhelmed again, and then he takes a deep dive, and then comes back up again. How is it even possible for him to experience hope? If it's this hard, if it's this much despair, if it's this dark, if he feels like he's drowning in the reality of his life, how can he find hope at all? How is he able to do that? Well, we look closely at his words. He says, I will yet praise him. I will yet praise him. The psalmist has a conversation with himself. Does anybody here ever have a conversation with yourself? Yeah, right? You ever argue with yourself? You lose that argument sometimes? When it's just you arguing, but you still lose? Yeah. He's having a conversation with himself. And he asks, soul, why are you so downcast? Why are you so downcast? Why is the emotional, spiritual, physical me, why am I so downcast? Why are you so troubled? Why are you so disturbed? Why are you in such despair? Why are you here experiencing this? Why? Put your hope in God. Hope is the expectation that God will help. That's what hope is. It's the expectation that God will act. And so what the psalmist is doing here, he's making a choice of faith. He's making a choice. I will praise him. I will. I'm choosing to. I don't feel like it, but despite my circumstances and my despair, I will praise him. You'll notice he says those exact same words early in the psalm and also at the end of the psalm. And you'll also notice that many scholars believe that actually Psalm 42 and 43 are actually one psalm. I know, scandalous. And because the same words show up there too, that somewhere along the way it got divided. But he makes that statement, I will praise him. I'm going to choose to do that. Then he says, I will remember. because my soul is downcast, because I'm in where I am, I will intentionally focus my attention on what needs to be recalled. He's already expressed his personal remembering, his past, what life used to be like, what he used to do, what he once experienced. In many years of ministry, I've heard people talking about that longing of, oh, it used to be like this, and it used to be. I used to work with an older pastor who said, everybody romanticizes the past. They weren't happy back then either, but now they think they were. Right? But he's remembering, oh, I remember what it used to be like. I remember the experiences that I had. And what's happened is when he starts thinking about what he used to have and that he no longer has it, all of a sudden he starts getting more depressed. And he's starting to feel, you know, more just overwhelmed. And it's not been helpful. He's just really making it worse. And so then he says, okay, I've remembered all that. You know, I've been focusing on the way it used to be. I've been focusing on the things I like, those things. Yes, I've done that, but it really hasn't helped me. But he says, now I'm going to remember God. I'm going to remember God. And he uses some interesting words. He specifically says, I'm going to remember God from the land of Jordan and the heights of Mount Hermon and Mount Mizar, smaller mountain next to Mount Hermon. Why is he using these references? Why didn't he just say Israel? All of these make up the promised land. These are the significant landmarks that are the reminder of the promised land, which is a reminder that God keeps his promises. It's a reminder. When he thinks of the promised land, the promised land is a reminder that God keeps his promises. That's why it's called the promised land. He's reminded that God is reliable. He's reminded that God is trustworthy. He's reminded that God is dependable. Most things and most people aren't, but God is. And once again, what we see here is a choice. It's a choice of what to focus on. Does he focus on what he used to have and wishes he could have again, or does he choose to focus on God? Does he focus on his circumstances, or does he focus on God? And he chooses to remember who God is rather than focusing on what things used to be like. And then the third thing he says, a prayer to the God of my life. As he engages in prayer, he shifts, and you'll notice this, from his tears being his food day and night. That's what he said, right? My tears are my food day and night. And he changes his perspective. He says this, by day the Lord directs his love, and by night his song is in me. By day the Lord directs his love, and by night his song is in me. What a shift. God's love and joy have now become central to the psalmist as he engages prayer, as he begins to pray to the God of his life. Shifting from tears that come from despair to love, being loved, and the joy that comes from God. So, I am sure that most of us can relate to the psalmist. That's why I love the Psalms, and that's why I'm really enjoying this series, is that the Psalms give us permission to say out loud what we're thinking and we're feeling without shame and without guilt. And God is okay with that. In fact, encourages it because it's part of our journey to remembering and recognizing who he is. And I'm sure most of us can relate to the psalmist. I'm sure there are moments that we've had a longing for God, a longing to experience God in the way that we long to, that we have maybe once before. There's that longing in our lives for God. Like the psalmist, there are moments that we probably feel alone, or that we feel that God is distant. He doesn't see me, he doesn't hear me. There may be moments like the psalmist that we feel like God has forgotten us, and our feelings and emotions that are a part of that whole reality and that whole part of our lives are like, we become overwhelmed with the crashing waves of trouble in our lives. And we feel sometimes like we're drowning. I don't know about you, but somebody has said to me before, you know, how you doing? And I said, I feel like I'm underwater breathing through a straw. Right? You know, you're not treading water anymore. You're under there, but you just got that little lifeline that you're hanging on to, and we feel like we're drowning. And this is a teaching psalm, and it teaches us how we can respond to despair in our lives. So very quickly, choose. Lament is healthy, and lament is encouraged. But it should lead us to choose to continue to put our trust in God. We choose hope. We choose hope. Because hope is the expectation that God will act. We choose to worship and praise God despite how we feel, despite what we're experiencing, because hope is a choice. So we choose. Secondly, see, I told you it was brief. Remember, we tend to have selective memories, focusing on some things while ignoring other things. The psalmist fell into this trap just like we do. He was remembering the good old days when things were good, and he was longing to have them back again. But then he took his focus off of his circumstances, and he remembered God. When we take our eyes off of our circumstances and remember God, we are reminded that God is faithful. We are reminded that God is trustworthy. We are reminded that God is dependable. We're reminded that our best days are not behind us, despite how it feels. We're reminded that God has not brought us this far to only bring us this far. This is not it. We are reminded that God is still at work. And so we need to remember that God has been and God will continue to be trustworthy, faithful, and dependable. So choose, remember, and pray. Prayer has a way of bringing things into proper focus. Prayer helps us experience the love of God. In those moments of prayer is when the waves of His love come crashing over, reminding us how incredibly valuable we are to Him. Reminding us how important we are. Reminding us that He would never abandon us. He will never give up on us. Prayer has a way of drying our tears. Not that tears are bad. Tears are good. Cry a lot. Make us all feel awkward because we don't know what we're to do when you're crying. That's okay. Cry. But God has a way of working through our grief and our pain and drying our tears and putting a song in our hearts in the darkest of night. A joy that penetrates the depth of our being, even though nothing around us has changed. My circumstances may not have been changed, but I'm changed because of how God is working in me in the midst of this. I mean, truthfully, often the priority of our prayers is for God to change something. God changed my circumstances, changed my spouse, changed my children, changed my financial situation, changed my health, changed. We want God to change things, and there's nothing wrong with praying that God will change our circumstances, but we also need to be reminded that often what I have found is that the most impacting part of prayer is not that my circumstances are changed, but is that I am changed. That God changes us. Prayer changes us. And that's important. I'm going to invite our worship team back. Folks, our emotions, our feelings are important, but we know that they impact our decisions. And so we say things like, I don't feel like worshiping today. I don't feel like focusing on God right now. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like going to the small group, or I don't feel like going to youth group, or I don't feel like going to young adults. Emotions have a huge impact on our decisions. A long time ago, I heard a speaker say this sentence, and it's never left me. And the sentence was this: right decisions bring the right emotions. Right decisions bring the right emotions. I may not feel like worshiping today, but when I do, I feel better and I'm glad I did. I may not feel like focusing on God right now, but when I do, I feel better and I'm glad I did. I may not feel like praying, but when I do, I'm glad I did. I may not feel like going to church or small group or youth or young adults, but when I do, I'm glad I did. Hopefully, you're glad you did. Choosing to not allow our emotions to dictate doing the right thing is important, because you just may find that hope can be found in God despite the despair and isolation of life. Would you stand with us this morning? Jono and the team leads us today. Won't you allow the deep parts of you, the deep depths of despair that you may be finding yourself in, that there would be a cry from that place this morning to the depths of his love and his grace and his mercy and his presence as we sing this song together.
This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
Jesus, this morning, would you take the song and the words of that song that we've just sung and accept them as our prayer this morning, our prayer of devotion, that we give ourselves to you and our desire that you would have your way in us. Lord, today I thank you that you are not finished with us. We are not discarded. We are not expired. We are not forgotten. We are not in a situation we have where we no longer are valuable. But Lord, help us to know the truth by your Spirit this morning, that we are each and every one incredibly valuable, incredibly important, that you are still working in our lives, and there are still a work that you want to do in us and through us. That you haven't brought us to this point so that this is the top of the mountain and there is nowhere from here. Thank you that you continue to lead us through the ups and the downs. And you continue to faithfully work in us, shaping us into your image. Lord, we pray for those who are maybe in this room today who feel like they are drowning in despair and isolation and overwhelmed as the waves of life are crashing over them. And Lord, we pray today that your love would crash over them this morning and refresh them and bring joy and a song in the night, when a song in the night doesn't make sense at all. But that's just what you do. And Lord, we think of those who need your touch today. We think of Elfrida, who's been struggling with a serious back issue and longing to be here with your people, her faith community. Would you heal her body today? Would you strengthen her? Would you help her? Lord, as we leave this place today, may we leave with hope. Hope. Having an expectation that you will act, that you're not done, and it's not finished yet. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here.